إن الحمد لله نحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. الحمد لله. By Allah's leave, we continue our classes concerning شرح بلوغ المرام. This our classes concerning the explanation of the book called Attainment of the Objective. Today, inshallah, this is supposed to be our 12 class concerning this book. Tuesday, the 16th of Al Muharram for the year 1419. Which is equivalent to the 12th of May for the year 1998. And inshallah, our subject today is concerning ghusl. Our subject today is concerning ghusl. Ghusl, which is the Arabic term, Ghain, Seen, Lam. Ghain, Seen, Lam. Ghusl. In phonetics, you write it G-H-U-S-L. Ghusl. And ghusl, which some call it bath, taking a bath or a shower. And to explain it more is to cover your whole body with water. The ghusl is to cover your whole body from head to toe with water. And Islamically, we're talking about certain causes that will cause the human being not be able to perform certain Islamic obligation without covering their body with water. As example, janaba or haid, menses, or after childbirth. If a woman had her menses and her menses is over, she could not perform certain obligation, i.e. or example salah, without taking a full complete shower, that means covering her whole body from head to toe with water. So this is what we planning to talk about today, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his assistant, to give us the guidance, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect my mind and my heart and my tongue of saying anything that is not right in his deen. And as I said, I'm reading from book called Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, which is the attainment of the objective. And also I'm using other books for explanation, but basically this is our 12th class in this book. You're welcome. And if you have this book with you, you may refer to chapter number 7, chapter number 8, excuse me. Last chapter we discussed last week was chapter number 7, which relating about mannerism or behavior or the proper way of using the bathroom. So today, inshallah, we going to be talking about Bab al-Ghusl wa Hukm al-Junub. And this is chapter number 8, page number 46, and hadith number 94. An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الماء من الماء رواه مسلم وأصله في البخاري. الحديث عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الماء من الماء. Again, this hadith which narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, the water is due to the water. This hadith reported by Muslim, and the original of this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. This is two hadith which reported by Abu Sa'id that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said al-ma'u min al-ma', water due to the water, or water comes as a result of the water. There is two waters here, okay, that hadith is referring to. One is the water that you use for ablution, the water that you use for ghusl, for showering, okay, this is called ma', and the other water which also referring to, which is the cement, okay, this also called water, is liquid, right? And that this is the kind of water that we've been created from, okay? The water of ghusl due to the water of sexual emission, okay? That mean as a result of the semen, or the person reaching orgasm or having intercourse, this water that came out of you, it became a result of you using the other water to cover your body with shower. This hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And from this we understand that any time that the person reach orgasm or that he baths this fluid out of his body, that shower, a full complete shower, became obligatory. The second hadith, which hadith is number 95. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اذا جلس احدكم بين شعابها الاربع ثم جهدها فقد وجب الغسل. اجين. وعن ابي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اذا جلس احدكم بين شعابها الاربع ثم جهدها فقد وجب الغسل. نيريتد ابو هريرة رضي الله ببليز وزهيم الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if one of you sits between her four parts and penetrates her, ghusl is obligatory. This hadith is muttafaq alayh. And in the narration of Muslim, which is other version, say وَإِن لَمْ يُنزِلْ, that a Muslim added even if he doesn't ejaculate. Okay, so now this hadith is telling us that if a man sits between the four parts of the woman, which referring to the arms and the legs, and jahadaha, which is means that the struggle or the effort that the man do for entering the woman, and now this by entering her, having intercourse with her, now he must have a full complete shower, and the necessity of this version of Muslim that saying وَإِن لَمْ يُنزِلْ, that mean even if he did not reach, okay, even if he did not reach orgasm, okay, so for this fluid to come out of him or no, this is not the only condition for the ghusl, because for the man to enter the woman, this itself became enough obligation or a reason for him taking a full shower. Okay, and this is something we need to do a little bit explanation here concerning al-ilaj. Al-ilaj is what he used the term here, okay, penetrate. So that means if a man lay down completely in his wife, or his wife lay down on top of him without any cover, without any clothes, okay, but and touching the private parts with the private parts, this is not a reason for a ghusl. Okay, this is not a reason for the ghusl, regardless if he touched her private part with his hand or with his penis. This does not enough a reason for him or for her to take a full complete shower. But the shower come as a result of penetrates the two private parts together. Now it became a must, okay, and sometimes that he may penetrate her, but he or she did not reach orgasm. This does not have to be a reason, okay, this does not have to be a reason. Penetration is sufficient reason for a complete ghusl. The next hadith, which hadith Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, radiallahu ta'ala anha, أن أم سليم وهي امرأة أبي طلحة قالت يا رسول الله إن الله لا يستحي من الحق فهل على المرأة من غسل إذا احتلمت قال نعم اذا رأت الماء. حديث اجيم عن ام سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها ان ام سليم وهي امرأة ابي طلحة قالت يا رسول الله ان الله لا يستحي من الحق فهل على المرأة من غسل اذا احتلمت؟ قال نعم اذا رأت الماء. This hadith, which number 96, page number 46, narrated Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, that Salim, which is the wife of Abu Talha, she said, O Prophet of Allah, Allah is not ashamed of the truth. Is a ghusl, bath, compulsory, obligatory for a woman when she has a sexual dream? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said or answered her by saying yes, when she sees signs of liquid. Okay, this hadith which reported by Umm Salama, that she said Umm Salim, and Umm Salim is the wife of Abu Talha, may Allah be pleased with him. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him a question, but since this question is dealing with private parts, and it may become a cause for a woman to be shy or to discuss an issue like this here, akhi, can put it in this container. And since the subject or her concern is something related to private parts and may cause some shyness in her part, she made this small introduction, okay? But this didn't stop in her from learning about her deen. Otherwise, a man or a woman being shy to know the right thing and not to ask the questions, he'd be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on jahiliyyah, on their assumption without knowledge, and they may can be right and can big possibility also they can be wrong. So there is no that mean inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't command shyness, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't dislike being shy when you try to learn about your deen. Okay, that mean is okay. And she made this introduction as excuse for herself for being asking with something it may be seen to some people that is not supposed to be asked from a woman to a man or from a man to a woman. Okay? She said, indeed Allah, inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. Allah is not ashamed of the truth. Allah doesn't forbid us to learn the right thing, and he doesn't command our shyness in this issue. Therefore, I want to ask you about this issue. When a woman see a, what you may call it, wet dream, okay? She will see in her sleeping, while she's sleeping, that a man had intercourse with her, or that he have foreplay with her, or whatever it is, and as a result of this, this caused her to reach orgasm. When she wake up, okay, she will remember this. So what she supposed to do? Should she take a full shower? What was the answer? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said what? إِذَا رَأَتِ الْمَاءِ, if she sees the water. And this water again referring to what? The semen. We don't want to use the word semen, or maybe because semen may be referring only to the male, okay? So he said, yes, if she sees a sign of liquid, all right? Because the same way like a man has a liquid come from him, the woman has a liquid comes from here. So that means we understand from this hadith, if the woman see a wet dream, but she did not see the result, okay, that she don't have to, she don't have to take what? Shower. And this by seeing witness in her clothes, or it can be dry, okay, or anything, because there is possibility she will see something in her dream, but she did not reach orgasm. That means this fluid didn't depart from its place in her body, therefore is no need for ghusl in this case. So when she will take the shower, if only she see a sign of liquids, alright, now ghusl became what? Became wajib, became a must. Hadith number 97, and this in page number 47. وعن أنس, again before I forget, any hadith that you say Muslim or Bukhari or agreed, I don't have to make a comment of the hadith saying that is authentic, because this is the highest authenticity that you can get, be agreed, or that in Sahih Bukhari or in Sahih Muslim. So the first hadith and the second hadith and the third hadith, which 94, 95, 96, all of them are authentic. Hadith number 97, page number 47. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المرأة ترى في منامها ما يرى الرجل قال تغتسل. متفق عليه. وزاد مسلم فقالت أم سلمة وهل يكون هذا؟ قال نعم فمن أين يكون الشبه؟ Again. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المرأة ترى في منامها ما يرى الرجل هل تغتسل؟ قال تغتسل. متفق عليه. وزاد مسلم فقالت أم سلمة وهل يكون هذا؟ قال نعم فمن أين يكون الشبه. حديث نمبر 97 narrated that Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the precept of a woman having ejaculation during sleep like a man, she should take ghusl, bath, agreed upon. Added Muslim, Umm Salama said, does this happen to a woman? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Otherwise, where does the resemblance of a child to its mother come from? Alright. So this hadith, which is almost similar to the other one before, but the other one was a question being addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this also that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying concerning a woman who sees in her dream, or she have a wet dream, she sees in her dream whatever the man sees. So this we understand from this hadith that whatever a man sees in his dream, it can also happen to the woman. And the same thing happened to the man, that fluid coming out of his body, it will happen the same to a woman. But Umm Salama, she was surprised that will this happen? Is a question, but a question like mean is not a question to ask, answer, but was like a surprise for her. She doesn't know that the same thing can be happening to the woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to her, how come you think that the child will resemble his father or his mother? Okay, that means if only the man reach orgasm and only the man fluid coming out of him, and only this can happen to the man, that means the child always resembles only his father. But since the man reach orgasm as well as the woman, so now the man has this water comes from him, and the woman also this water can come from her. So since both of them have fluid, which fluid will have the strength to overlap the other, now the resemble of the child will come as a result of this. Okay, so if the fluid of the man more stronger than the fluid of the woman, okay, or the water of the man more stronger, so the child will come like his father or like his uncles, okay, or his grandfather, like this. And if the fluid of the woman overlap the man, okay, or that became stronger than it, or that reach orgasm first, okay, whatever way that you may understand it, now the child will resemble his mother or his aunt or his grandmother, like this. Okay, so this, it shows you, because in this semen or in this fluid which comes from the man or the woman carry the what you call the genes, okay, carry the genes of which carry all the description of hairs, eyes, features, sins, skin, everything. Okay, so the father, his fluid carries his genes, which has a description of him and his father, his grandfather, the whole lineage of the family. And the woman carry also her side. Okay, so which one comes first to be the place where the baby grow or the baby will be developed, or which fluid will be overlap the other, whatever way it is, Allah knows best. Okay, which one is more stronger, that the child will come as a result of this, be resembling his father or resemble his mother. It depends which fluid will overlap the other. Now, Jazakallah khairan. The child, the genes carry description, eyes, skin, not sin. Okay, we don't believe in originality of sins. Thank you. Okay, if I said the word sin, I meant to say skin. Alright, we don't believe in originality of sin. And as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يَهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That the Prophet of Allah saying, each child is born in the upright nature, but his parents are the one who turn him to be a Jew or a Christian or a Magan or whatever. That means a child, when he's born, he is Muslim. If you leave him grow without any effect from the parents, from the society, from the neighbors, from the friends, okay, he will knew about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his own nature, because Allah created him in this straight upright nature. He will knew that Allah exists. He will knew that Allah is one and alone. Okay, but what happened that later on the parents, because the parents is the first exposure, and the first teachers to the child, they will cause the child to be turning away from the right nature of Tawheed and monotheism and unity of Allah to something else. He will see that his parents bought the church, or they see that his parents putting crosses over their chest, or they will see that their parents prostrate before a statue. Okay, so all these things will be what? Will be implemented and will be printed in his mind, and he start to imitate his parents. The same way, if a child born among Muslim parents, the little girl start to try to imitate her mother by putting a khimar, they're going to try to prostrate, laying down flat in the stomach, because they don't know how to make sujood, the little kids, but they want to imitate their parents. Okay? And this shows us the necessity of keeping a Muslim house, the necessity of being a good example for our kids, and the necessity of choosing the right husband or the right wife. I know we diverted a little bit from the class, but this only to make sure that nobody misunderstood what we're talking about concerning the genes and carrying the description of the parents, and part of it is the skin color, as example, okay? Not the sin. Do you think it's clear now? Alhamdulillah. Make sure now nobody still. And we see that this hadith also is authentic because it's reported in the collection of Al-Imam Muslim Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And we learn from this hadith as well as the previous one that a person shouldn't be shy or feel shame to ask about anything in Al-Islam, which it is very important to know about your deen. And we learn from this hadith also that a man or a woman, okay, that whenever they see a wet dream, that they have to take ghusl, a full bath. Okay. Now, if a person, small comment here before we go to the next hadith, if a person, as example, they have a wet dream and they didn't pay attention, and later on, couple of days, they notice a rough spot in their clothes, and when they touch it, they got to recognize the color or the thickness, and that this was a cement, as example. Okay? It may be been 2-3 days and he doesn't know. Okay? The scholars, they said in a case like this, that the person will go and take a bath, and he will make his salah over from the last time that he went to sleep. Okay? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? As example, let's say that a person saw a wet dream Tuesday. He went after Isha to sleep, he got up for Fajr, he didn't notice this. Okay? Alaykum assalam. Thursday, he went to take a nap, he woke up, and for some reason he noticed that rough spot there in his clothes. He look, he sees the color, he noticed that this was his cement, but he didn't remember when he saw the wet dream. So we ask this person, what is the last time you went to sleep? This is Thursday now, this is not Tuesday, okay? That he said, I want to take a nap after Salat al-Zuhr. Okay? So now we said, now it's time Maghrib or Isha. So consider yourself that you saw this when at Zuhr, after you went to sleep. So now, alaykum salam, you need to go to take a shower and go make Zuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha for what day? For Thursday. Because he doesn't know when. So we refer this to the last moment or the last time he went to sleep. Alright? And what he will do with this spot that in his clothes, anybody remember? Scrape it. Al-Farq. Okay? And as I said, the fark will be like this. And please everybody look at me. This is called fark. Okay? And you do it like this. Because it's dry. This is the way you do it. You take it and you do it like this between your two hands or your fingers. You rub it like this and you you brush it off or you dust it or whatever, and this will be enough and you can pray in the same soap. Go to hadith number 98, page number 47. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغتسل من أربع: من الجنابة ويوم الجمعة ومن الحجامة ومن غسل الميت. رواه أبو داود وصححه ابن خزيمة. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغتسل من أربع: من الجنابة ويوم الجمعة ومن الحجامة ومن غسل الميت. رواه أبو داود. Narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take a bath from four things after sexual intercourse. That means this is one. Number two, on Fridays. Number three, after extracting blood from his body. Number four, and after washing a dead body. Reported by Abu Dawood wa sahahu Ibn Khuzayma. And let me tell you little bit about this hadith. Okay, this hadith, as referred to it here in some explanation on Bulugh al-Maram, that this hadith isnaduhu da'if, the chain of this hadith is weak. This hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood and Ibn Khuzaymah, and also in the collection of Al-Hakim. And the defect comes as a result of having Mus'ab ibn Shaybah. There is a man by name Mus'ab ibn Shaybah. Okay, this is the reason that the hadith is weak, da'if, therefore we could not use the hadith for any evidence. Okay, although the parts of the hadith, okay, is correct, but the hadith as is refer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is weak. Because you remember two classes ago we talk about ghusl al-mayyit, washing the dead body, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which a lot of scholars said about the hadith is weak, that Sheikh al-Albani hafizahullah said the hadith is authentic, therefore this became one of the obligation or necessity of taking ghusl. Okay, in the beginning of the class we said there is many cases that you have to take ghusl, to take a full bath, and we give example after intercourse, after sexual intercourse, the man as well as the woman have to take what? A full bath from head to toe. Also we just talk about a second case, which what? Wet dream. And this will apply to what? The man as well as the woman. This hadith although is weak, but there is one case we talk about it, that whosoever wash a dead body, that he have to take what? To take a full shower, a full bath, before he can be able to perform salah or carry other activities that require tahara and purification. We're going to leave the hadith as is, as we go to hadith number 99. Oh, okay. If he took the nap after Salat al-Dhuhr, okay, so he will consider that this sleep since it is the last time he went to sleep, so he have to take a ghusl, and he will make Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Okay? Alhamdulillah. But we say that the whole hadith is not authentic, therefore we could not build any ruling on it. So we leave the hadith completely, but I was referring to remind the people about ghusl al-mayyit. Okay? So does not, because part of the hadith is supported from other hadith, but still the hadith is weak, so we're going to leave the hadith completely. We are not going to take any ruling from it. Okay? But the ruling of ghusl al-mayyit and other things like this, thank you. We take it from other hadith. Hadith number 99, page number 47, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة ثمامة ابن أثال عندما أسلم وأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يغتسل, رواه عبد الرزاق وأصله متفق عليه. Narrated أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, regarding the story of Thumama ibn Athil when he embraced Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to take a bath. Thumama ibn Athil, he's Hanafi, he's from Yamama, people of Yamama, and Abd al-Razzaq, he is Al-Hafiz Al-Kabir Abd al-Razzaq Ibn Humam Al-San'ani. This hadith is reported in the collection of Imam Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and Ahmad, and Abu Dawood. It's saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had ordered Thumama, when Thumama, he was taken as a captive, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tied him in the masjid. Okay, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had tied the man in the masjid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for some reason, he understands the impact of the masjid and the importance of the environment. So he took this man, when he took him as a captive, okay, and he tied him in a place like one of the pillars in the masjid. And this was sufficient for him to see the companions coming in and out of the masjid, performing the salah. This, the impact of the masjid and the unity of the Muslims, and seeing the salah and seeing all the things, made the man willing to embrace al-Islam. So when he took shahada, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to go and take a full bath. So from this hadith we understand also that this is the fourth or the fifth condition. We said after sexual intercourse, washing dead body, wet dream, and after embracing al-Islam, this also one of the cases that a person have to take a full and complete shower. Hadith number 100, which is in page number 48, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى